If you take out your Bibles and turn to Acts 2. We're going to be looking at the early church. It's beginning in verse 36. We're picking up in the middle of Peter's sermon to the church, which is actually the beginning of the church. So this is Peter speaking out, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Follow along as we read. Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all who the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, I'll tell you why that is so exciting to me and why you hear my voice kind of get more excited when I start reading that. Every time I read Acts 2, starting in verse 36, and I read down to 47, I get really excited because that's what I want Christ the King Community Church to be when it grows up, to be just like that. Why? Because it's simple. It's simple. Last week, we began to ask and answer the question, what kind of church is this? Some of you are looking for the first time and going, what kind of church is this? I hear a whole lot of things about churches, but what kind of church is this? Some of you have been coming for a while and you're going, is this where I want to plant? Is this where I want to be part of the family? And you're asking, what kind of church is this? Some of you have been here a long time, and so if somebody came to you and asked, hey, what kind of church is this? You might answer this way. Well, let's see. This is a non-denominational, multi-location community church. And if you answered that way, guess what? You'd be absolutely truthful. That'd be absolutely right. But if you stopped there and described it that way and did nothing else, it would be like calling a Ferrari four wheels and a trunk. It really wouldn't get to the spirit of what we're trying to make Christ the King to be according to Scripture. The answer that gets to the spirit of who Christ the King is, and we're fleshing this out over 3 weeks. This is week two. So far, I would say it's this way. Christ the King is a real, simple church. Period. It's a real, simple church. Last week, I said that you could go to probably any Christ the King around the United States or around the world, and that you would hear this in something, maybe not directly, but you'd hear it in something that they were saying that says, you know, we're about keeping it real. I'll also say to you that you could probably go to any of those Christ the King churches and hear something in the phraseology that says, we're about keeping it simple. So today, we're going to seek out, what does it mean to be simple at Christ the King Community Church? If we're going to call ourselves real and simple, what does that mean? Well, let's look what Webster's Dictionary says about the word simple. This is what it says. I'm not going to read that whole thing because there's more. It's on the next slide. So Webster takes 11 definitions to define the word simple. Then we add the synonyms, and thus the synonyms. And we look at that together and all those definitions, and we go, wow, you know, there's some really great words there. And there are. There's some words there that I really want to be played out in our lives as Christ the King Community Church. I want us to be all about being understood, easy to understand. I don't want anybody to come in here and have to go, well, I wonder what this is, and I wonder what that is, and I wonder how this works, and I wonder who's in charge of this, and I wonder about that. I want to keep it very simple. I want to keep it understood. I don't want it to be artificial. I want it to be modest, but I don't want it to be complicated. I want it to do things that are very simple. Now, when you look at this definition, you look at all the synonyms and stuff from Webster, you go, for crying out loud, does it really take that many words to describe the word simple? Why do you think it takes that many words to describe simple? Well, I think it's because it's hard. Simple is hard. It requires a lot of things. It requires a lot of prayer. It requires a lot of thought to stay simple. It requires a lot of hard work. It requires a lot of discipline to remain simple. And the reason that is because the reason it takes 98 words to describe simple is because it runs against the grain of a world that we live in that's very complicated. So at CTK Snohomish, we really want to work. We really want to try very hard to become a simple church. And this morning I want to give you three areas in which we are going to remain simple, that we're going to try very hard at being remaining simple. Here's the first one. We are going to try very hard to become simple in our beliefs. Now, that may mean several things to you, but let's go to Augustine. Augustine is one of the very first church fathers, early church fathers. And this is what he said. In essential beliefs, unity. In non-essential beliefs, diversity, or some say liberty. In all our beliefs, charity, or some say love. So what Augustine is saying here is that there are some essential beliefs in the Christian life, and there are some non-essential beliefs. Let me give you an example of a non-essential belief. The tribulation, the second coming of Christ. All of us would agree that Jesus is coming back. If you read the Bible, you have to agree that Jesus is coming back. But where we would probably differ is on when he's coming back or where he's coming back or how he's coming back. But see, that's okay. There's no reason for us to get everything up in arms about those type of things. It's a non-essential belief. It's a belief, but it's non-essential. So at CTK, we're going to focus on the essential beliefs. And the reason we're going to do that is because in my 30 years of ministry, I have never known anyone's life to be transformed as a result of arguing about the second coming of Christ. I've not seen any great life change happen because of the second coming, arguing the second coming of Christ and what that's going to look like. But there are some things that do change our life. The things about salvation, how you come to salvation, the things about Jesus Christ, who he is as a son of God, those are essential beliefs. Those are things that change lives. And there is an essential belief that is so fundamental, so life-changing, that that's what we're going to stay focused on. This is one thing we cannot disagree on, and that's John 3:16. For God so loved the entire world that he gave up his only son, that whoever would believe in him as the son of God would not perish, but would have life eternal. That is an essential belief. If you do not believe that, that's where we would part. That's where we cannot agree. That's something that would test fellowship at that point. Why? Because it's an essential belief. And Augustine says, and the Bible says, that these are the things that bring us together. Essential beliefs bring us together. They bring unity. Now, there are people in this room and it's been this way all morning. Every one of our services, there's been people who have sat here who come from all sorts of different denominational backgrounds, all sorts of different walks in their religious life. Some come from no walk with Christ at all. This is their first experience with it. And so in non-essential beliefs, I can guarantee you that there are going to be a lot of disagreements about that, a lot of opinions about different things. I mean, I look out and I see people that I've had different conversations with in that. But guess what? That's okay. That's okay to have those different beliefs. We don't have to split over those things. So we're not going to be about non-essentials. We're going to keep it very simple and just talk about essentials. Now, in our discipleship, we may discuss those other things. But CTK is going to be simple and discuss those things first. So here at CTK, we're going to be very simple about our beliefs. The other thing that we're going to be very simple about, and this still is under number one, about our beliefs, is that we're going to be have a very simple clarity about our vision and our mission and our values. Our mission, and it's in that little handout that you get every morning when you walk in. In the middle of it, it tells us what our mission is. Our mission is to create an authentic Christian community that effectively reaches out to the unchurched. That's our mission. That's not up for discussion. There's no reason for us to waste any time, any energy on that, because that's basically Matthew 28, the last words of Jesus Christ, just said in a different way. We're to go out and make disciples. Not stay put and hope the disciples come to us and then we can tickle them and make them feel good and then do that. It's not what it says. We are to be an authentic Christian community that effectively reaches out to the unchurched. Where we will spend our time and energy is implementing that. Learning how to be better at what we say we're going to be about. We're going to be very clear about our vision. Our vision is to see a prevailing multi-location church emerge that will transform the spiritual landscape in which we are located. So we want to be very clear about that. We want to be very clear about our values. And basically, Christ the King, we as Christ the King have narrowed down to three things that we think are absolutely critical, absolutely essential. These are things, and I'm going to give them to you, the three things that we think have a very high price tag on them. And one of them is small groups. It is very critical that you, as the church, gather in groups that are small enough to be where you can share and where you can care and where you can have friendships and fellowship and support and nurture and maturity. High price tag on small groups. High price tag on worship. We want to continue to be a worshiping church. Every single day of the week, we want you to be worshiping, not just here on Sunday morning. We want your life to be a worship to God. We want it to be a lifestyle. Why? Because we want God to get the honor and glory and praise in everything that we do. And the only way we can do that is to worship him with our lives. And then the third high price tag item is outreach. We want to be deliberately praying every time we gather together for the lost and the broken people. I want you to be praying for that individually so that you can share the same hope and the joy and the salvation that you've experienced. If you've experienced that and you believe in that, why wouldn't you share that? We also want to share it and be a part of that so they can experience a purposeful life as disciples in Christ. So focusing on those three things is what makes CTK's ministry so powerful, that focus. Did you know that there are companies, even here in the Puget Sound, I found a couple, that use a small amounts of a highly pressurized water that is so concentrated down to a little thing like this, it's so concentrated and so powerful in that concentration that it can cut through steel. There's a picture of it right here. I found this picture. That was cut with water. Now, that's what happens when a common element like water, something that you and I take for granted every single day, becomes focused and becomes pressurized down to this little tiny thing. And really, when you look at CTK and you compare this analogy to that, that's really what we're all about. We're just this common thing. We're just this common people that have gathered together. And it is very common. Ever since the first century, believers have been gathering in small groups. Guess what? Christ the King didn't invent that. All we're doing is we're doing a concentrated focus on it. Believers throughout history have worshiped and praised God for generations. That's right, CTK didn't invent worship either. All we're doing is making it our concentrated focus. The church has always been encouraged to be an outreaching church, to go into all the world. CTK did not invent that. But we're making it a concentrated focus. Because here at Christ the King, what we want to do is we don't want to do a lot of things okay. We want to do a few things really well. Because that's what's going to make the church powerful, simple, and clear with common stuff. Amen? We're also going to remain simple by just being committed to keeping the main thing the main thing. Jesus was asked once. He was asked, "Hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said to them, he answered back and said, really, there's just two things. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, if you take those two things, all the other commandments can be hung on those two things. And so he's saying that he wants us to be great as CTK in loving our neighbors as ourselves. In other words, we're not going to lie, we're not going to steal, we're not going to covet, we're not going to cheat, we're going to love them, we're going to include them, we're going to be part of them, we're going to be patient with them. And then he says, I want you to love God. In other words, we're going to put God first in our schedules. We're going to put God first and give him the priority in our week and in our worship. Why would we not give him priority in our worship? I can guarantee you that a lot of you worship other things besides God during the week. That's why we say that. See, if we do love God with all our heart, then we're going to return to him what he has given to us. We're going to give him the first fruits of everything that he has given to us already. The first fruits. The best. We're not going to go and give the best to others and then come back and say, okay, well, here, God, you can have the rest. Do with it as you will. Why? We're not going to do that because somebody up here tells us to do that. We're going to do it because of our natural love for God. We're going to do that because of who he is and what he did for us on the cross. And then all these other things are going to come after it. So here at Christ the King, we've said we're going to keep the main thing, and that's loving God and loving people. Are we going to be perfect at that, people? No. No. I'll tell you why. Because sometimes I'm not very lovable, and you know that. And sometimes you're not very lovable, and you know that. So sometimes we're just not going to do that really well, but we're going to try. We're going to try to keep that the main thing. Love God and love our neighbors and love each other. All this week, Gene and I, from about Wednesday on, I think it seems like 2 weeks, but since Wednesday on until sometime this afternoon, we have had our little grandson, Jaden, who's 20 months old. And I just didn't realize that I don't have that much energy anymore. I really wish that our house was about 200 square feet because you can't leave him anywhere before he destroys something in the blink of an eye or is into something, and I love him dearly. But, man, I can't keep up with him. The point I'm trying to make is that every single one of us through life, whether you're in children's ministry or you're in youth ministry or you're in young adult ministry or you're in old adult ministry, which is everything past young adult ministry. You figure it out for you. We all have limited time. We all have limited energy in which to give. And somehow we're to make Christianity this very energetic on limited time and limited energy. God's not limited, but we are. And we all know where that is. So here at CTK, what we're going to do and what we're trying to do is we're trying to deliberately choose to leave some things out of being church. Now, I'm not putting down other bodies of believers. Please don't hear that. But here, we're going to focus down, and we're not going to include a lot of things that others do. So if you want a church that is a mall, okay, and offers everything for everybody, then this won't be the place. Because we're going to deliberately choose to leave some things out. For one thing, you're not going to see a lot of programming that's going to go on here. Basically, what we're going to encourage you to do with our programming is this. If you are a child, a youth, or an adult, if you have an opportunity, we want you to get involved in a small group with others sometime during the week for support and growth as a disciple. If you're a child, a youth, or adult, we want you to go to worship. We want you to go to a worship center on a weekend or maybe during midweek, and we want you to worship God. That's the programming. You see, we're not here to complicate your life because your lives are complicated enough. We want you to love God and love others. In terms of our beliefs, we're going to try to keep it very, very simple. That's number one. Number two, the second area in which we're going to try to keep simple here at CTK is the atmosphere. I think you see it in your surrounding this morning. There's not a lot of frilliness here. About the most frilly thing, and I've said this in each thing, as I looked around, the most frilly thing I could see was colored lights coming down the wall and trailer trash lights being left up all year long. Praise the Lord. For all of you who are trailer trash like me, you understand this. But that's about as frilly as it gets here. If I just offended you, too bad. Yeah. Here's the thing about what we're going to do. Everything you see in this room that's used by us and our ministry partners like Youth for Christ and Damascus Road, which meets here in the evenings, all through the week, all the different things that meet here, this room is used a lot. Everything that's used in the room, in the building next door for our children and our youth, everything that's used in the offices, we either sit something on it, we sit on it ourselves, we turn it on or off, and that's about it. It's used for something. We're trying to be very frugal in what we do. There's nothing about this environment that is going to capture your imagination. And the reason that is because if your imagination is captured, we want it to be captured for God, not for all the other things around it. Jesus was asked an interesting question by the woman at the well. And most of the time we just kind of skirt right over it, but we don't really understand the impact of it. And she said to him, she said, Jesus, where should we worship? Should we worship over there or should we worship over there? Or what about on this mountain? Should we worship on that mountain or should we worship on this mountain? Where should we worship? And Jesus said this to her. You will learn to worship in spirit and truth. That mountain is no better than that mountain, and that place is no better than that place. That's what he said. You know, spiritually speaking, worship is something that you can deliver to God just about any place. And by taking our environment and making it somewhat simple, we've said, listen, people. Here at CTK, our attention is going to be focused on him. It's not going to be on the surroundings or the material things that we do or do not have. The equipment that we use during worship is really pretty simple, but do you know that there's some CTKs that are still using overhead projectors with acetate? Remember how seasick you used to get when the acetate moved around and you couldn't follow the words? Some are still doing that. It's very simple. It doesn't need to be complicated. Our service itself is pretty simple. We worship or share in communion for 20 to 35 minutes. We listen to the word of God for about 25, 30 minutes, unless Spanky gets up and says a whole lot of words on top of that. Sorry, it was the last time. See, we try to keep it simple in our atmosphere. That's number two. Number three, and I'll be done. The third area that we're trying to keep simple here at Christ the King is in our organization. We now have what we call active participants. We here at Christ the King no longer have formal membership. Let me tell you how that happened. Several years back when Christ the King was started, there were bylaws that called for membership. And the reason for that was that Dave Browning, who is the lead pastor and the founder of Christ the King International, when he left, he was leaving Christ the King Bellingham, and he just brought the bylaws with him. And their bylaws had membership included in them. So about 1 year into the start of CTK International, knowing that CTK had bylaws that called for membership, Dave created this really slick-looking membership packet. Had about 6 or 7 pages in it. And you know what? I did the same thing when I first came here. I thought, man, this is what we need to do. Only I didn't do a packet. I did a box because I wanted something bigger than a packet. So I did a whole box. How many of you got one of those membership boxes? Okay. I'm sorry. if you want a box, we have a whole bunch of them left over. So just ask me. They're empty now, but you can have one. But we put together these boxes, and he did the same thing. He put together a membership packet, and on the back page of the membership packet was an application so that you could get really excited about what you read, and then you could fill out the application to become a member. So for the first several weeks of the first summer he was there, he made this announcement about how they had this membership packet back on the back table, and you can get that and get it, read it and get excited about it, and then you can fill out this membership application, and you can become a member. After 3 months, he had 3 applications. And this church was exploding. But he had 3 applications. So what he does is he goes back to the church council and he says, hey, you know what this feels like? This feels like me putting on Saul's armor. It doesn't fit. It's not the right thing for us. Because people are not looking to join an organization. What people are looking for is they want to know about Jesus. And they want to connect with other people who want to know about Jesus. And so they rewrote the bylaws, which are now our bylaws also. And so we no longer have formal membership. All CTKs have what they call active participants. So now you're asking, okay, what's an active participant? Well, let me tell you what an active participant is. An active participant is anybody who's in a small group or a part of a ministry team. If you have a ministry function or you're part of a community by being in a small group, then you're about as involved as you can possibly be at Christ the King International. If you no longer participate in a small group or a ministry team, then you're no longer an active participant, technically. That does not mean, however, that there isn't a place for you to grow and learn and to move closer to understanding the biblical importance of those two things. But technically, you would not be considered an active participant. Simple. Very simple. We want to stay very simple organizationally, and we want to become more and more simple as we move farther along as part of Christ the King International. So here's the thing. We're not going to have a lot of lists. We're not going to have a lot of rosters. We're not going to have a bunch of roles that we're trying to maintain and keep going when you don't really want it to keep going. It's very simple. And the reason that it's going to work is because of the second thing in keeping it simple is this, and I mentioned this last week. You are the ministers. You're the ministers. One of the things that keeps it simple is that this is your ministry. It's not my ministry. It is not the staff's ministry. What we are here to do is to equip you to do the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4. So what we want to do is we want to help you be contagiously generous in making that happen. We want to empower you. We want to give you permission to do it. We want to help you to do it. But ultimately, it's your ministry. And that will keep it simple. That's why we're not going to be hiring a bunch of full-time pastors anymore. You are the ministers. It's going to happen. You're going to need to get involved with it. God's going to have to place it on your heart. You're going to have to use your experiences and your passion and your heart and your abilities and your spiritual gifts to do it. The third way that this is going to remain very simple is that the small group is the basic building block for everything we do. We're going to try to reach people, tens of thousands of people, 10 people at a time in all sorts of small cells. We're not trying to reach people hundreds at a time. So the small group is the place where a lot of ministry is going to happen. And you're going to begin to hear us say that every person who is in a small group has a ministry. And that ministry is to everybody else in that small group. So if you do not attend a small group, or if you're not involved in a ministry group or an activity group of some kind, then your ministry doesn't get received by other people in that group. And who suffers? They do. Because you have a ministry. The fourth way that we're going to keep things simple around here is we're going to decentralize ministry. And I kind of touched on this. We're not going to try to bring everybody into one great big gigantic place week after week after week after week. What we're going to do is exactly what we've been doing. We're going to try to create something that is smaller, where people can come and know one another and see one another and get to get that relationship with one another, and they can come and they can discover, if they're new, who Jesus is all about, and do that, and it's okay if they don't believe just exactly the way you do right now. They feel comfortable in understanding that and kind of coming to that as God directs them, and then to get trained as a disciple, and then to have a place where they spring out into the community, meeting needs, developing relationships, sharing Jesus. And that's what we want everyone here at CTK to think about. We want you to think about reaching people who don't yet know Jesus Christ. We want you to meet their needs. We want you to build their relationships with as many people as you can. We want everyone to be creative in doing that, because there are lost people out there who don't know the truth. And you have to think, I used to be one of those. Why wouldn't you share it? See, when you do that, when you try to work really hard at not making things better for us here, but try to deploy the resources out, deploy the people, deploy the money, deploy the equipment, deploy the gifts and everything that goes with that out, it keeps it very simple that way. All right. So what's the application? Let me just give them to you very quickly. Three C's. I said them last week. First, celebrate. Celebrate, because being simple is something to celebrate, people. I've been in churches most of my life, and most of them have been extremely complicated. The simplicity that God loves me, the simplicity that he takes me right where I am at that moment, and we should worship him for the fact that he's gathered us together under these very simple truths that are foundational, yet are very eternal. The second thing I want you to do in applying this is connect. Find a place to simply connect. A small group, an activity group, a ministry group, some place where you belong to the CTK community. Not in an elaborate way, but in a very simple way. Number three, contribute. Make a contribution, as simple as it may be. Because CTK is this gathering of simple thoughts and ideas that people bring for ministry. So you should contribute your resources. You should contribute your time. You should contribute a contagious generosity. You should contribute your gifts. You should contribute your ministry and just give it simply. I read passages like Acts 2. And the first thing that goes to my head is this question. I go, God, what if? What if your church was like Acts 2? would we then be able to change the world? Maybe we've made it too complicated. And so through that complication, very little is getting done. I love Christ the King Community Church. I love how we're moving away from complication into simplicity, into being real. Because people, there's only two things on this earth that are going to last forever. God's word and people. And the church is the one thing that brings those two things together in a very simple way, but a very eternal way.